Brothers and sisters, good to be back with you today. You know, last week as I was talking to you about the things that happened before the world began, you know, I kept seeing scriptures that contained the word mystery. And this particular phrase, things kept secret from the foundation of the world. And then the verse in Colossians 1 and 26 really got my attention. It says, the mystery which has been hidden from the ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to the saints. I started reading and studying, and what I learned was that there are mysteries that were hidden throughout the Old Testament, but were revealed to God's children in the New Testament through Jesus Christ. As I searched the scriptures, I learned that the word mystery and mysteries do not appear at all in the Old Testament. Neither do the phrases we talked about last week. For instance, before the foundation of the world, before the world was, or before time began. The Old Testament doesn't speak of these things. It wasn't until Jesus came into the world that anyone knew that there were such mysteries that God hid from the beginning and revealed only after Jesus Christ was born. You think about these things, brothers and sisters, and stay with me. We've got a lot of interesting things here today, and everything that we talk about is based on Scripture. Everything we talk about is based on the Bible. So I want you to stay with us, and you, sometime you get a chance, you study these things. Now today we're going to talk about God's mysteries and learn what they are. Our scripture text is one of the closing verses of the book of Romans. In chapter 16, verse 25, the Apostle Paul says, "Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began." Our text isn't the only verse that establishes the fact that there were things hidden from the foundation of the world and now revealed through Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul says in the Ephesian letter, chapter 3, verse 9, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. And in the 1 Corinthian letter, Paul tells the church in chapter 2, verse 7, "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory." The mysteries that Paul speaks of here were first spoken of by Jesus himself. In Matthew 13, Jesus began speaking in parables in order to hide the mysteries of the kingdom from those who were not in the kingdom. You know, he's talking about people like the Pharisees who have just accused him of casting out a demon by the power of Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. When they accuse him of getting his power from the devil, he hides his teachings from them in parables. Matthew 13, 34 and 35 says, "All these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables. And without a parable spake he not unto them." He didn't speak to them unless he used a parable at that time. "That it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world." When the disciples asked Jesus why he spoke to them in parables, he answered in verse 11, "Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it's not given." Now, why would Jesus hide these things from some people, especially the religious Pharisees? You know, we've been talking about that now for the past couple of weeks. Jesus tells the Pharisees in John 8, 42 through 44, "If God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. You are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." At that point, the Pharisees accuse Jesus of having a devil and pick up stones to throw at him. Then in John chapter 10, the sixth verse says, "This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them." Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. I'm the good shepherd. I know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. And they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father." Now in this parable, Jesus reveals things that the Jews have never heard of before. Jesus says he is the shepherd. A shepherd has a flock of sheep. They are his, and he takes care of them. You know, they know him. They follow him. They won't follow the voice of a stranger. As the good shepherd, Jesus will lay down his life for the sheep. Jesus says this is a commandment that he has received from his Father, and his Father loves him because he lays down his life that he might take it up again. There was a division among the Jews who were listening to Jesus. Some said that Jesus had a devil and was mad, and they asked him why the others were listening to him. The others said, "These are not the words of a devil." So why did some understand what Jesus was talking about while others didn't? When the ones who didn't understand asked Jesus why he was making them to doubt and why didn't he just tell them plainly if he was the Christ, Jesus answered them in verses 26 through 30. "I told you and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not because you are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." Now I want you to remember, the Pharisees were religious leaders who were very knowledgeable in the Scriptures. But Jesus is telling them things they have never heard, hidden things that have never been revealed. Jesus is telling them that God is his Father and that he has been given a commandment. And that commandment is to lay down his life for who? For his sheep. That's what the Bible says, brothers and sisters. He's speaking to the Pharisees about God's plan of redemption of a fallen people that God chose to adopt before the foundation of the world and send his Son to lay down his life. The Pharisees have no idea what Jesus is talking about. And Jesus is telling them that they don't understand because they are not of his sheep. The Jews knew about the Messiah who was foretold in the Old Testament, but they thought he would be someone who would rescue them from their captivity here on earth. Now they couldn't understand what he was talking about when he said his Father loves him because he lays down his life that he might take it up again. Even his own disciples are confused when he tells them in John 16 and 16, "A little while, and ye shall not see me. And again, a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father." In Matthew 16 and 21, Jesus tells his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. This was God's plan from the beginning. It was his plan that Christ would be the sacrificial lamb slain from the foundation of the world. He would save his people from their sins, not from captivity by the Romans. He would redeem those who were his sheep by laying down his life and taking it up again. Those who were not his sheep had no idea who he was, even though he said that he and his Father were one. Many times Jesus claimed God as his Father, but the Pharisees responded by accusing him of blasphemy and taking up rocks to stone him. You know, there are other things that Jesus revealed in parables that were hidden from the beginning of time. Now I want you to listen to me as we talk about these parables. He begins speaking in parables in Matthew chapter 13. After the incident in chapter 12 where the Pharisees accuse him of getting his power from the devil. His first parable is the parable of the sower. It's in Matthew. If you get a chance, you look at it. It's the 13th chapter, the 3rd through the 9th verse. This parable is about a sower who represents Jesus himself, who sows seed, which is the word of God. On four different types of soil. Now, you get this, get a picture of it. There was no such thing as direct seeding back then. The seed was broadcast, brothers and sisters. That means it's scattered by hand out there on the ground, thrown out there by hand. Some of the seed would fall where it was intended, but some would be caught by the wind. I'm sure you that have sown seed, you've seen this happen. This seed, some of it would be caught up in the wind and end up in places where it was unlikely to grow. The seed that fell by the wayside in stony places and among the thorns either did not take root and grow or grew briefly, and then it was choked out by weeds or by the scorching heat of the sun. The only seed, now listen to me, the only seed that took root and grew was the seed that fell on the good soil, plowed and conditioned by the sower to receive it. Do you hear what I said? It was conditioned by the sower, who was Jesus Christ, to receive it. The seed that grew in the good soil produced fruit. Listen to what I'm saying now, because this has a lot to do with this production of fruit, brothers and sisters. Some, it says, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. Not all the same. It's the same way with God's children today. Not all of God's children produce the same amount of fruit. The only soil that received the seed and produced fruit was the good soil. The soil, the sower prepared to receive the seed. No one would expect seed to take root, grow, and produce fruit if it fell by the wayside on stony ground or among thorns. It's the same way with the Word of God. The preached Word goes out and a lot of people hear it. Some respond for a short time, but unchanged by the Word, they are back out in the world in their old ways. Some don't respond at all, and some receive it joyfully. And the Word grows in them and produces fruit. Those are the ones that produce fruit where the one takes hold and grows because it's been prepared by Jesus Christ. Paul tells us in Galatians that the Holy Spirit in God's children produces fruit. It produces fruit, brothers and sisters. In chapter 5, verses 22 and 20 through 24, Paul says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts." Those who are Christ exhibit these fruits because of the Spirit dwelling in them. Jesus had already spoken of the fruit in God's children in the Beatitudes in his first sermon in Matthew 5. In this sermon, he's teaching his disciples how to recognize those who belong to Christ. The ones that belong to Christ. And you know, we need to today be able to recognize those. They're poor in spirit. They mourn over their sins. They are meek. They hunger and thirst after righteousness. They're merciful. They are pure in heart. They're peacemakers. These are the ones Jesus says will see God. All of these qualities are the ones Paul lists in Galatians 5 that are the fruit of the Spirit. At the end of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 7 and 16, Jesus says, Ye shall know them by their fruits. God's children are those who produce fruit, brothers and sisters. That's what I'm telling you. They don't all produce the same amount of fruit, and the Bible tells us that. Some produce more than others, but they all, every one of them, will produce some fruit. The seed that fell by the wayside on stony ground and among the thorns produced no fruit. No fruit, brothers and sisters. In John 15 and 16, Jesus said, "Ye have not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain." Those God has chosen and ordained to produce fruit will, I'm telling you, they will produce fruit and their fruit will remain. They will endure. They will not fall away. Now, let's look at the second parable Jesus spoke in Matthew 13. It's the parable of the wheat and the tares. And it's in verse 24 through 30. In this parable, Jesus tells about a man who sowed good seed in his field. This is the same man who sowed seed and it fell on four types of soil. The sower is Jesus. But in this parable, Jesus is concentrating on good seed sown in a particular field. The good seed was sown. And while his servants slept, the enemy now, that's the devil. It came in under the cover of darkness. And that's what the devil does. And it sowed tares among the wheat. And it's happening today, brothers and sisters. Tares are actually darnel. A seed you can't distinguish from the wheat seed. Immature wheat and darnel, they look alike. Before it gets mature, they look just alike. And when it was discovered that tares had been sown among the wheat, the man's servants asked. Now you listen to what they asked. Do you want us to gather up the tares and get rid of them? The answer was no. Because to try to destroy the darnel would mean destroying much of the wheat. And separating one from the other would be beyond the servant's ability. The servants couldn't do it. They didn't have the ability to do it. Only when the wheat has matured can the tares be detected. And listen how that's done. Wheat and darnel are exact in their appearances during growth. I'm familiar with both. I've grown wheat and it's had darnel in it. Both plants are lush green and can be distinguished only when they mature and produce fruit. Wheat berries are large and golden, while darnel berries are small and gray, fit for nothing. In verse 30, the servants are told, "Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, the Bible speaks of the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn." In this parable, the good seed are the children of God's kingdom and the tares are the children of the devil. They live side by side in this world, and that's happening today, brothers and sisters. It's just as plain as the nose on your face. You can see what's happening. You can see what these, if you're a child of God, you can understand these parables. See what he was talking about here. You know, we cannot tell the difference between them until maturity is reached. The mature Christian now produces fruit. The children of the devil try to imitate God's children, but sooner or later, you'll be able to tell the difference. Satan's children are good at imitating Christians. They go to church, they tithe, they give to missions, they sing in the choir, they teach Sunday school classes, and they even stand in the pulpit and preach. They are Satan's ministers of righteousness that Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians 11:13-15. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. In the parable of the wheat and tares, Jesus is teaching about the final judgment. In the end, the children of the devil will be gathered up and burned in the fire, while God's children will be gathered into his barns. There are several other places that Jesus teaches about the final judgment in parables. Two of those parables are in Matthew 25, in the parable of the 10 virgins. And some people teach this different, but I'm going to tell you what the Bible's speaking of here. Jesus teaches of 10 virgins. 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. The Bible tells us that the wise virgins were obedient and prepared for the coming of the bridegroom. The foolish virgins were disobedient and unprepared. The wise virgins and the wheat both represent God's children. The foolish virgins and the tares both represent the devil's children. The 5 foolish virgins were counterfeit Christians. They were imitation Christians. You couldn't tell them from the true virgins until the end. While the unprepared foolish virgins were buying the oil for their lamps, the bridegroom came, and the door to the wedding was closed. I'm telling you, it was closed. When the foolish virgins arrived with their oil, they begged for the door to be opened. But the bridegroom says, "Verily I say unto you, I know you not." I know you not. God knew his children from the foundation of the world, brothers and sisters. They will all come to him, and he will accept every one of them. None of them will be turned away. These five foolish virgins are the same as those Jesus speaks of in Matthew 7:21-23. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. The other parable about the final judgment in Matthew 25 is in verses 31 through 46. And now listen to me. How when Jesus returns in all his glory with his holy angels and sits on his throne, he will separate the nations as a shepherd divides the sheep from the goats. Now, we know from the parable that Jesus spoke in John 10 that the sheep represent the elect of God, those God chose and gave to the Son. The sheep hear his voice, and they know him. He puts the sheep on his right hand and the goats on his left. He tells the sheep, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Then to the goats on the left he says, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. All of these parables are related. The wheat, the five wise virgins, and the sheep all represent the children of God. And the tares, the five foolish virgins, and the goats represent the children of the devil. They live together in this world, just like this happens today, and it's difficult to tell them apart. Man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. Now, only God knows which are his, but Jesus has taught us through parables now, listen to what I'm telling you, that there's a way for us to recognize our brothers and sisters, in Christ, by their fruits. By their fruits, the Bible says, ye shall know them. By their fruits, ye shall know them. I believe what the Bible says. The purpose of speaking in parables was to reveal the hidden things of God, the mysteries kept secret from the foundation of the world. In Psalm 78:2, God says, I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old. This prophecy was fulfilled in Matthew 13:34-35. All these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables. And without a parable spake he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. Now Jesus is revealing what the Israelites in the Old Testament never knew, that the Messiah would not be an earthly Savior who would deliver them from their captors, but the Son of God, who came to redeem a chosen people from their sins. God's Spirit would dwell in them and set them apart and enable them to produce the fruits of righteousness. Now Paul described them in Galatians 5, and Jesus identified them in the Beatitudes. He called them his sheep. He laid down, now I'm going to tell you, he laid down his life for them. They will hear his voice and they will follow him. The Bible tells us that, brothers and sisters. How can you dispute that? Jesus said in John 6:37-39, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. The last day is the judgment day, when Jesus will separate the wheat from the tares, the sheep from the goats, and the wise virgins from the foolish virgins. Those on the right hand will inherit the kingdom prepared for them from the foundation of the world. Those on the left will be cast into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Now, if you will study it sometime, brothers and sisters, the only way in the Old Testament that God references the final judgment is the phrase, the day of the Lord. In the Old Testament now, the day of the Lord is described in Joel chapter 2, Amos chapter 5, Zechariah chapter 1, as a pouring out of divine wrath on God's enemies. Imagery of natural disaster, devastating military conquest, and supernatural calamities are connected to the day of the Lord references. But the day of the Lord references in the Old Testament are also characterized by a pouring out of divine blessing upon God's people, as in Isaiah 4, Hosea 2, Joel 3, and Amos 9, Micah the 4th chapter, and Zephaniah the 2nd chapter, and Zechariah the 14th chapter. There are no specific details that define the final judgment the way Jesus describes it in these parables. In the parables, Jesus describes the final judgment as a separation of good and evil. Now God's children inherit a kingdom prepared for them before the foundation of the world. While the devil's children are cast into eternal fires, there will be those who think they are God's children by the wonderful works they've done. But Jesus will say to them, "Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you." Jesus uses the phrase weeping and gnashing of teeth to describe the agony of those cast into outer darkness in Matthew chapter 8, chapter 22, 24, and 25. Luke 13 and 20, listen to me now. Luke 13th chapter and the 25th through the 28th verse, Jesus says this, "When once the master of the house is risen up, and has shut to the door, and ye begin to stand without, and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence you are. Then shall ye begin to say, We have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence you are. Depart from me, and you, all ye that work iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out." Now, brothers and sisters, we need to study on these things. God has opened secrets never before revealed now in the teachings. They're in the teachings of Jesus, especially in the parables. In 18 different verses in the New Testament, most of those verses are at the end of parables. Jesus says, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." Jesus is speaking to his people. They are the ones who will be able to hear and understand what he's teaching in the parables. He said in John chapter 10, "My sheep hear my voice." The religious Pharisees heard him speak many times, but never could figure out what he was saying. He told them in John chapter 8, "Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." And in John chapter 10, Jesus said to the Pharisees, "I told you, and you believe not, the works that I do in my Father's name. They bear witness of me, but ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep." Now, brothers and sisters, God's children will hear the Savior's voice, and they will follow him. Jesus knows his own sheep by name, and he will call them out, and they will follow him. Only Christ was given the authority to give eternal life to those the Father gave him. Next week now, we'll look at the secrets that Jesus revealed about the kingdom of God and salvation in the parables. I hope you'll be able to join me now. Be looking forward to it. May the Lord bless you this week and give you understanding as you read his word.